Good to see everybody out this evening. Always a great encouragement and blessing to be able to come together and study God's Word as we have the opportunity to do so. Always thankful to have a little break as I did this morning, to have someone willing to step up and present the Word also. It's always good to sit down and to listen to the Word being spoken from time to time, to have the opportunity to listen to the Word and examine from that point of view also. This evening, I have brought out a cloth sermon or a bedsheet sermon. Those who are older in age might remember these being used. Being my grandfather-in-law, I never got to meet him. Casey's grandfather used to be a preacher, and after getting married, her grandmother had, I got two boxfuls of them. These cloth sermons, and I'm not sure how many he put together. I was told a lot of them was from another preacher named J.C. Rohde. Her grandfather was Melvin Sandy. But the other night, on Wednesday night, we was going through our study there in 2 Timothy, and we got to the point of talking about being judged by Jesus at the end of time. And we kind of talked about the difference and to the point of view of how many have fallen under the false assumption that when one dies, that they are immediately ascending into heaven. So I decided to go ahead and break out this false sermon that I have used in the past. I put together a PowerPoint to go along with it. I know it's hard to read, but the PowerPoint will go along with it on the three worlds. On the three worlds. I'll get to go. So, on the three worlds, and to the extent of looking at that, the fact that there is the world that we live in, and then the Bible speaks of this unseen world that has paradise and torment and woe, the Bible scriptures, to see that, and that's where we go when one passes away upon this earth, when one dies, and then on that day of judgment, that day that no one knows is when heaven and hell, the eternal punishment, ends up taking place. So, if you will open your Bibles and follow along, we'll see how the Bible shows us these three different worlds. So, first point would be, of course, looking at this world. Looking at the world that we are born into. I got those tiny again. So, we are born into, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, if you open your Bibles. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, here we see, and we talked about recently in other lessons that we have presented, that God created all things. That God, of course, created you and I. Genesis 2 and 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So here we see, we are born into this world. We were created from this world. Again, John 1 and 1 through 3, we pointed out this verse in other lessons, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and nothing was made that was made without. And all things were created through our Lord and Savior. So that is the first thing we have here. So here, right here, it's pointing out the birth, the kingdom of nature. And the fact that we are simply born into this world. And that's, you know, our independence, not independent, but innocence. The innocence of being a child, an infant, of not knowing right from wrong, not knowing whether or not this is evil, this is sin, but we are simply born in this world. In John chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus trying to explain certain things, of course, as he is from heaven, he makes that mention that he's not from this world, but we are. John 8, and in verse 23, John 8, verse 23 here says, and he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." So we live a life in this world. We are from the dust of the ground. And when we get to the point of talking about the death that enters into that second realm, we'll see that our bodies return to the dust of the ground, as is pointed out in Genesis. One point as we're on this point is that we're not born into sin. When we talk about being in this world, we're not born into sin. We are innocent when we're born. We don't know right from wrong. We don't your Bibles with me. Open to Ezekiel. Open to Ezekiel, if you will, in chapter 18. Ezekiel 18. Look at with me in verse 20. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. Here it says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Here, bringing out the point, the simple point, that I am not going to be condemned by my father's actions. My father will not be condemned by mine. We will face judgment according to our own actions. According to what I have done upon this earth. According to what you have done upon this earth. And Matthew chapter 19. If we were born in sin, born to the point that we don't have a right to be right in the sight of God to the extent. In Matthew 19 and verse 14, why would Jesus say here, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is not of those who are born in sin. The kingdom of heaven is not of those who are, just sinners. But those who have turned from sin. Those who have accepted the call out of sin. We'll get to that point here in a minute. So when we do sin, continuing on this point of this world, but the spiritual kingdoms of this world, looking at when we do sin, though, we enter into that realm of darkness that is pointed out over here. So we're innocent, and then we sin, and we enter into this part, the kingdom of darkness. This kingdom of darkness, as it's bringing out on the cloth sermon here. And Romans 3 and verse 23 here brings out that, of course, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. At one point or another, we have all fell short of the glory of God. We have all entered into that spot. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, if you turn there. Romans 6 and in verse 23. Romans 6 and then in verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So here it brings it. The wages of sin is death. And of course, here it's speaking, the spiritual death, that we have died. We separated ourselves from God if you continue on that path of sin, you continue to do that. Jesus, this was pointed out to the children of Israel, this is pointed out time again throughout the Bible, that as long as we keep His word, He is with us. But when we forsake His word, as they were about to enter into the land of Canaan, Moses said, you guys will be blessed, you'll live in this land that flows with milk and honey. But if you do the same thing the Canaanites, the Hittites, that everybody was doing there, and you also will lose the same. It's the same thing for us today. If we are not continuing in the righteousness of God, then those blessings that He has for us are not there. You read Matthew 6 verse 33. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Here it's saying God will take care of the necessities that we need. He'll make sure you have clothes. He'll make sure you have food. He'll make sure you have the water that you need. But it said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and God will add these things to you." He's saying if we continue in His path, He'll continue to take care of us. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 19. Here it says, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked." This is Satan's realm. He is called the God of this world, the Prince of this world, whichever title that takes the ruler, that is Satan. Satan has occupied this world and is doing his best to get everybody to fall into his fingers, to go about as a roaring lion to devour. So we have this part that we have fallen into when we sin. But as we see here, we see that they put together stair steps here, and that is the plan of salvation, as we call it. That is when we are converted into the Word, because God sent His Son down to die for us. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, it says, this is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So here it brings out that he came to save us. Came to save those who are in the darkness. But we have to hear the word of God. We have to be willing to listen to what he has to say. In Matthew 17 and verse 5, here as the apostles are with Jesus, and they look into the sky, and they see two people, and they're like, I'm going to build a temple for all three of them. But then a voice came out and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear Jesus. We're no longer listening to Moses. We're no longer listening to Elijah. Listen to what Jesus, my Son, has to say. So we have to hear him. We have to open our ears and search the Scriptures to see what the Word, our Lord and Savior, has to say. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, they're telling us, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. You read throughout Hebrews chapter 11, it goes through the men of faith, giving us example after example after example of men who had faith in God, men who acted upon that faith that they had in God. We have to have that faith. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must act upon our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Meaning we're willing to turn from this world of darkness, turn from our sins. In Luke 13, in verse 3 and also in verse 5, immediately just a couple verses later, Jesus repeats himself. He says, I tell you, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. People get caught up with the idea that just because we accept Jesus, we believe that he is the Son of God, or as the Jews and the Israelites continue, that they were just the chosen ones, that they didn't have to turn from sin. He says, I tell you, no. Paul had to say time and again also, just because grace abounds, that doesn't mean I continue in sin. No. No. You must repent of those sins. You must stop and go the other direction and preach against such sins. We had a wonderful lesson this morning talking about our confession, confessing our faith, faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And further than that, but acting upon that confession, continuously living in the footsteps of Christ. As Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus getting here and telling us that we must confess him. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Here he says, if we confess him, he will confess us. But if we deny Christ, he will deny us. And we are baptized into our Lord and Savior. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3 and in verse 27 here it brings out, for as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This takes us out of that kingdom of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of Christ. And then we turn along to Colossians 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, verse 13 is, we are immersed into Christ, accepting him as our Savior. The Lord will add us to his kingdom. Colossians 1, verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Through his power, he has brought us out of the darkness and into the light. We have to accept his word. We have to accept Jesus and follow in his example. Keep his commandments. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And you read along with me in verses 10 and 11. It says, for this reason, I will not be neglected to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir up you, reminding you, knowing that shortly, I jumped in verse 12. Verse 10, 11. I skipped verse 11. Verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here he says, if we do these things, and what he's talking about, if you read verse 5 throughout that verse, it brings out add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, perseverance, godliness. You continue on to grow and add these things to our faith, and we will have our place. The reason we want to make sure we point out what is in this world, the two different kingdoms, is because when we come to death, we come and that time comes and we die. And I'm going to make this point short, just bring out one verse, Hebrews 9, verse 27, where it tells us it is appointed for all men to die once. Everyone is going to face it. If you don't face it, that means you've lived up to that day that God has set aside to destroy this world, and our bodies will be changed. And we'll get to this point here. But when we die, everybody has to face it. And when we die, though, and that's what this part is here, if you are in the kingdom of Christ, then we'll go into the place of paradise. But if we are in the kingdom of darkness, then we are going to go to the place of torment, the unseen world. Go open your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Here we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16 and in verse 23. It says, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So here bringing out, so the rich man had his life well upon this earth, and Lazarus was begging. He would take whatever he could. He'd take up the table scraps. He took the things that were left over from the dog. But when they both had passed away, the rich man ended up being left in torment. Left being in torment. It doesn't say that he went to the eternal torment, the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. We'll get to that point here in a bit. But he was in torment. And he looked up and he could see that divider there, that great gulf, the divider right here. And he saw Lazarus laying at Abraham's. Here we see that there was a separation, not being sent straight to hell. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4, it says, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now here it says, cast them down into hell. Now if you look up, once again, I'm not a Greek scholar either, but if you look up this word, you know, I use the Strong's Concordance. You look it up, you have Esort or whatever app you have to look up the Greek word here. It brings out the term tartissus, and it means the deepest hole in Hades, is what it's saying. The deepest, darkest spot down in the place of torment is where the angels are there. Because you read, it says, waiting, reserved for judgment. They are chained up in reserve, once again, as we brought out when we studied Timothy Wednesday night, for judgment. That judgment, that final judgment comes on that last day. Comes when all will be judged. In Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 13. Revelation 20 and in verse 13. Here it says, the sea gave up, talking about that last day, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. I understand sometimes Revelation is a little hard to understand. And I'm not volunteering to teach a class on it. But this part here is bringing out the point that in that judgment, that death and Hades, they'll have to give up the dead for that final judgment, where people are sent to the eternal torment, and those who are in paradise will end up being going to heaven with our Father up in heaven. But we also have paradise for those who are in the kingdom of Christ. We have paradise where we see Luke 16, verse 22, as we brought out, Lazarus was able to look through the gulf and see Lazarus standing. He was there laying at Abraham's bosom. There in Luke chapter 16:22, it says the angels had carried him and laid him there at Abraham's. He was late. He's It's not there laid at our Father's feet in heaven, but laid at Abraham's bosom instead. Another point to look at for this is Luke 23. Look at what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Luke 23, and in verse 42 and 43. It says, then he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. He doesn't say you'll be with me in heaven. You'll be with me in my Father. But he says you'll be with me in paradise. And if you turn to John chapter 20, this is continuing on the point after Jesus had died, after the thieves had died, here Jesus has resurrected them. In John 20 and in verse 17, as he's showing and proving that he lives, it says here, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. She said, I have yet to see my Father. I have yet to ascend into heaven. Jesus was in paradise. As he said to the people on the cross, he says to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. Jesus was here for those days before he was resurrected. With the people on the cross. With all others who have been keeping the commandments, the law. This is the two places that people go to when they die. That is what the Word of God points to. That they're not going to the eternal judgment here of torment and hell, or the eternal paradise of heaven, being with our Father and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. So as we get to that next point, we talk about the resurrection, the end of time, the judgment that is to come upon us all. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, John chapter 5 and in verse 28, John 5 and verse 28, it says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself condemnation. I can of myself do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent. He says, the judge of the righteous will come, and the judge of the evil shall come. That's the end. That's the end. The last day for this world. The eternal end of this world. In 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4. And reading starting in verse 16. Here it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Says the end of time, the Lord shall come in the air with the trumpet sound. The angels shall come and gather the righteous. I like that last part though. It says, comfort one another with these words. When we talk about the end of time, it should be comforting words to us. If we have been following in His footsteps, if we are prepared and we have obeyed the gospel and we are ready for that day, then we should be. And it should be comforting thinking about the end of time. When that resurrection comes, comes our judgment, comes the point of heaven or hell. Well, if your Bibles will turn along with me, we continue on this point. A second death is another term that it is referred to time and again in Revelation 20 and verse 14. Revelation 20 and verse 14, another verse that brings out death, and Hades shall give up the dead. It says, then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You jump down the next chapter in verse 8, 21 verse 8 of Revelation. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sex sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is where all the unrighteous end up. Those who have not obeyed, and those who have fallen back into the temptations of this world. Those who were caught up in sin in the kingdom of darkness. Those who have been in torment as they wait for the day of judgment end up right here. Not in heaven, not with our Father, not with our Savior. But those who are in the kingdom of Christ, those who wait in paradise, will end up being in heaven. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus makes the point that he prepares a place. He goes to prepare a place for those who will keep his commandments. It says, let not your heart, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here, bring him out. That he has prepared a home where we will be with him. Where we will be with our Savior. Be with our Father. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. We studied this morning in the adult class as Paul had made mention what was waiting for him. He had said there in verse 7 that I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there it is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all that love his name. He doesn't say he'll give it to me as soon as I die. He says he will give it to me on that day, the day of judgment. The question comes out, who do we know that has entered into heaven? And you may know brethren who have passed away, that we have confidence from the life that they lived. We have hope and confidence that hope that they are in heaven. Or that they died righteously. See, I say it right. It's so easy to get caught up in heaven. If they're not in heaven, they are in paradise, waiting for that day. Because that day, we will all enter in at the same time. We will all enter in on the same day. It's the day of judgment. The day that all shall be. Crown. All who have accepted his coming, his life, and his commandments. So I hope that I've helped you understand these three different worlds. Helped you understand that what happens when one dies, when that judgment day comes, is when we'll have that opportunity to spend eternity with that. And I don't know how much of Revelation is true and how much heaven is going to be like what is made mention there in Revelation 21. But it is a beautiful thought when it says that there's no need of a sun or a moon because the Father and the Lamb are his light. There'll be no night because they will always be shining their light. It's a wonderful thought. I want to extend the invitation to any who desire to be there. Any who believe that Jesus Christ is the way to get there. If you desire to be baptized into him, wash away your sins, to be entered into his kingdom. Or if you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, help you to remain in that kingdom. Whatever we do for you, we let it be known as we stand.